Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to episode 27 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We love the game of rugby, but don't take it or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Good day, Tim.
And hello, Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Oh, have I got you on, Phil? Hold on, we're on different microphones. What's going on here? Shift across. There we go.
There we go.
Hi, Tim.
How does that work? Phil. Surely that one should be over there next to you. No?
I don't know. But we're back at normal. That's about the only thing that is the same as it was this time last week, because Worcester Warriors have won a game!
Unbelievable.
A Worcester win. I think you predicted it, JB.
Did I?
Surely not.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely, you'd be the last person to ever predict Worcester would win anything.
They're getting better!
The impossible has happened, which also means that in this podcast, the unthinkable will also happen, which means JB will not make a litigious statement about a player. Phil will be completely fully fit during the podcast. And I'll probably manage to let the fact that my brother plays for London Irish have absolutely no bearing or bias on my comments about the club or their latest fixture.
So, does he? You should have mentioned it.
Or else you just get the same old podcast with a bit of a look back at the weekend's rugby, a look ahead to a big weekend of European rugby to come, and a load of other guff besides. But why don't we start with some people that have been getting in touch with the podcast since last week. You can get in touch via Twitter at Rugby Podcast is where we're tweeting, and that's where most of JB's litigious, defamatory comments can be found. Paul Hubbard was quick to crack a gag at the expense of Northampton Saints. He's clearly a Leicester fan, is Paul. He tweeted us to say, lads, there's a new item in the Saints Club shop, a bra for the ladies. Great support, but no cups.
Wrong, one Heineken cup, actually.
I don't know. I think Northampton, on the one hand, it sort of looks like the wheels are coming off, but I think they've got plenty still in their locker. Doug Milliken says, I refuse to accept JB is Welsh. He is far too willing to discuss English matters to be a true Welshman. Well, how would you say to that, JB?
Would I like to talk about the Welsh team? Yes, but they only play a few meaningful games a year. The Autumn Internationals don't matter. Summer Tour doesn't matter. Six Nations is over and the regions are pathetic. So what are we left with?
Wow. We've also been accused of being a bit Anglo-centric by some Irish listeners to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. And to be fair, actually, we should take a look at ourselves, gents, because we did overlook a huge matchup at the Aviva Stadium this weekend. Probably the biggest game of the weekend in any competition. Bod's legend continues. His try was the difference between the two teams at the Aviva Stadium with a Leinster win over Munster.
Yeah, I would just say if anyone does want us to talk about something which you think would be of interest to people, just let us know and we'll do it.
It's probably, mainly, if I'm being honest, it's probably because our expertise starts to get shallower and shallower the further away from English rugby we get.
I don't think I could name five players in each of the teams from the Welsh regions. I could hardly name anyone who plays for the Italian teams or the Scottish teams.
Well, the two Italian teams and the two Scottish teams, it's all the national players, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because they're only selecting from those two teams.
I suppose I could guess my way through it.
The Leinster team is very easy to pick because it's the vast majority of the Ireland team. Yep. Whereas Munster have only got
Paul O'Connell, Conor Murray,
and
O'Mahony. O'Mahony.
Zeebo didn't really play in the Six Nations. So, yeah.
Damien Varley's in the squad. And a shout to Doris Findlater. Thank you very much, Derry Gasman, on Twitter for letting us know about Doris Findlater, who was 104 years old and was at that game to watch her beloved Leinster beat Munster 104.
Incredible.
Fair game. Yeah. Well done. Happy birthday.
She has more years than some of her fans. That's incredible.
Plenty of other listeners have just been keeping us up to speed on various rugby matters around the globe. USA have qualified for the World Cup, beat Uruguay in their playoff match.
Yeah.
So the pool is shaping up. Pool B, South Africa, Scotland, Samoa, USA.
Hang on. Was there a chance United States might not have made the Rugby World Cup?
Yeah. They were playing Uruguay and they drew 27-all in the first leg of the Uruguay playoff. There was a good article in the Times.
Yeah, I read that. It was
last
really
week
good.
On the USA qualifying and the importance of it for the game in the USA.
Yeah.
Now that they are qualified and they're playing in the World Cup, it will be shown on, I think it's Fox.
That's right,
they didn't qualify, it wouldn't, so it would have virtually no media coverage.
And they've got a load of sevens money as well for the Olympics.
Yeah, load of sevens money. And there's some stats showing it's the fastest growing sport for children to play in America.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, really good news that for the world of rugby.
If they ever decide to take it really seriously, we're all in trouble, aren't we? There's some big slices over there. So at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Get into it. Also, just on a separate note, something we got tweeted. A couple of weeks ago, we were coming up with the best drinking games and drinking punishments that we knew of in our experience for kangaroo courts around the country after someone got in touch and said they need some help coming up with some drinking games. Well, I got forwarded a picture of London Welsh winger Rhys Crane, who was undertaking a challenge on his first away trip of the season. On the coach on the way home, he had to perform a challenge called Edward Cider Hands, where he had two big bottles of cider duct taped to his hands, and that was only removed when they were finished. And I'm thinking, you can't finish two big bottles of cider without going to the toilet. How did the going to the toilet work? You need a wingman for that.
You need a very, very trusted friend.
Right, we're going to get into the rugby in a minute. Loads to talk about with the Premiership, but I've devised a little game of rugby social for us, gents.
Yes.
This is where we're talking about drinking games. Rugby socials happen all the time, but how about looking at the social media of professional rugby players? They love a bit of Twitter. So I've got some questions based on what some players have been tweeting. First one from Jamie Heaslip. Jamie Heaslip, it turns out, did what after Ireland's Six Nations victory? Was it he pinched a cycle courier's bicycle? Did he hop on a police motorbike? Or did he drive a milk float? Jamie Heaslip did one of those three things in celebration of Ireland's victory in the Six Nations. JB and Phil, what do you reckon?
Milk floats?
JB's gone milk float.
Policeman?
Right, Phil. He hopped on a police motorcycle.
Awesome.
And how did the famously cheerful police react to that then?
Well, they didn't do what they did with Andy Powell and book him and send him to court. So that's the first one. Next question. From Ugo Monya. Ugo Monya has had some selfies taken with some celebrities over the past week.
Oh, I think I've seen one of these.
Who has he not had a selfie with?
Ooh.
Your options are Drake.
Canadian rapper Drake.
Yes.
How do you know that?
I'm down with the kids.
I just think of a Drake as like a male duck.
David Beckham. Or Sir Ian McKellen.
David Beckham.
Straight in there with David Beckham, JB.
Because I know there was a Drake concert this week because Simon McIntyre from Wasps was tweeting about it.
And
I follow him.
Ex-Broughton Park player.
That's right, yeah.
It'd be an incredible selfie to have David Beckham with you. I'm going to go for Ian McKellen.
Well, I can reveal the answer is the person who Ugo Monya didn't have a selfie with was Ian McKellen. Phil.
So he got one with David Beckham.
He got one with David Beckham.
I mean, David Beckham got one with Ugo Monya.
Third question then.
And getting smashed.
It's from Sail Sharks and soon-to-be Bath prop Henry Thomas. How did Henry Thomas's Sail Sharks teammates try to cheer him up on the way back from the Bath victory after he got a yellow card while scrummaging against his future employers?
Leave him there.
What was it? Downloading the song Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin to his phone? Was it getting the phone number of a woman working at the Bristol service station?
Ooh.
Or was it making him wear a Dayglo yellow vest and yellow hard hat for the journey home?
Would Dimes allow them to wear a hard hat in the...
Safety first.
I'm going to go with the service station girl.
I'm going to go the cheer up music, whatever it was.
Don't... Phil's got 3 from 3. Oh. Absolutely rinsed it. Urban myth about Bobby McFerrin. I always thought he died. I always thought it was ironic.
Who?
Bobby McFerrin was the guy who did that song. Oh, don't
right, okay.
Worry, be happy.
Yeah.
I always, it's an urban myth, it turns out, because I did some research, because I thought it was true, but apparently it was, what I always thought was, it was ironic he made that song because he killed himself. But he didn't, he's still alive and well.
Oh, right.
But well. I'm sure I'm not alone in thinking he was dead. So that's good news.
Like, what's the name? Oh, well, this is a disaster. Never mind.
The least informed podcast.
Someone has died just before the Oscars, and everyone thinks she was dead, but she wasn't dead.
Someone has died.
I thought you were going to say the Neil Buchanan thing a few years ago. There was
the guy who did
Art Attack. There was an urban myth that he was dead, but no, he wasn't. He was fine.
Anyway.
Yep.
We go from real life and death to the life and death of top four. Premiership and relegation. And let's start with, I think it's the big story of the weekend, Worcester Warriors.
Yeah.
Haven't won a game and they're there they are, winning their first match of the season.
And now they've got a genuine chance of staying up.
Not sure they have. Have you seen the points?
9 points down.
9 points, but they lost by 2 points to Wasps, they lost by 1 point to Leicester. You turn those on the head and they're pretty much level with Newcastle.
It's a massive ask. I can't see it happening.
Actually, out of the two teams, you'd say Worcester have the most talent. So if they're going to survive, they've not got a bad shot at doing it.
Let's go to the top of the table then. I suppose it's only fair. Probably the second biggest story was the victory of Sale Sharks away at Bath.
Now that was a game. Now we're talking.
Well, it was one for the rugby purists.
No,
wasn't
it was not. It
the
was
forward purists.
Oh, I thought it was incredible.
You'd have hated to have played on the wing in a game like that, wouldn't you?
Oh God, yeah.
But what about watching it as a spectacle? It was gladiatorial. That 17 minutes of scrimmaging, scrum after scrum after scrum, was absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Do you enjoy it though
when
11,000 people in the stadium or however many Bath fans there were all thought that ref got it wrong?
The ref did get it wrong because I actually thought in some of the earlier scrums it was Ross Batty. Popping up
first.
Yeah, not Jones.
I don't mind watching scrummaging. It's the 40 seconds between every scrum when they pick off the mud off their boots, themselves down. That's when it got a bit laborious.
Oh, I thought it was so exciting. But then they took off their props, Bath, and brought on Kat and Perenisi. And by all accounts, Kat is the strongest man in Bath anyway, in terms of scrummaging.
Not just Bath Rugby Club.
Oh, yeah, not just Bath, in Bath, full stop. Yeah. So then they started going forward. Poor old Koblash at this point, 60 minutes in, looked absolutely shot. On comes Hero Henry Thomas for two scrums.
Yeah.
Yellow carded. Koblash comes back on. And I think it tells you all you need to know about Tony Buckley, who was available on the bench and they didn't bring him on. So it was a cracking game. And Cipriani played awesome. How bad was George Ford?
When I've seen him playing in the dry... He looks like a genuinely world-class. I've now seen him in two Friday night games in appalling conditions where he's almost single-handedly lost the game.
The pressure was on and he missed two drop goals. He missed two very kickable penalties. I thought he was the big difference to why they didn't win, actually, because their pack eventually did man up. Oh, and watching the Bath pack make the substitutions the way they did was terrifying. So they brought on a whole new front row. Two new props. And who was the second row that came on?
Dominic Day.
Dominic Day.
Ferns in the back row.
Carl Ferns. That's the other one as well. Oh, and the Sale still won.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back through all the old editions of the podcast and just delete everything I ever said about Steve Diamond. I suppose Stalin got some results too, didn't he?
So, a fair play and a great result. And that has really made this end of regular season very exciting with Sale. We've still got Leicester to play at home and Quinns at home. The next game at home after the European matches for Sale is Quinns at home, a week on Sunday. Now, that is a tasty game.
I have a question for you.
Week on Friday, sorry.
If Sale were to make top four, which of the top four would you say is going to drop out?
The current top four?
Bath.
Bath.
But I don't think any of them will fall. I think the four that are there will remain the top four.
I think they will stay there. I think on current form, not points, Northampton are the ones that they look fragile.
I mean, they've got enough points in the bag. And also, they're missing Stephen Myler. They're missing Samu Manoah, Sam Dickinson. They've got big, important players to come back. I think they'll be fine, and I think they'll be really, really challenging for it.
I'd like to see them win the title because they're always so close. Mm.
It's ominous the way that Leicester are getting the players back at the right time and winning the games.
Well, I just wonder if a big bruising trip to Clermont may have a bit of a detrimental effect on their campaign.
Tasty
fixtures coming up. I suppose the rest of the games are kind of dead rubberish. Well, Harlequins are still in the hunt. They need to win all their games pretty much left, and they put London Irish to the sword. London Irish had quite a few injuries as well. Three pulled out just before the match, apparently. They had seven props in their matchday squad.
Did they really?
Really? Yeah.
Do you know, it's for situations like that when you hear, we've got four props on the bench, when you really want to see it happen. Yeah. You really want to see what it'd look like if they had four props on at the same time.
Well, six props on at the same time.
And Exeter Chiefs still couldn't get a victory. Although it was just one example of quite a few questionable refereeing decisions. I don't like slating refs, and I think they were all honestly made mistakes, if you want to put it like that. But it was a bit odd how the referee gave a yellow card when Exeter Chiefs are practically over the Gloucester line in a rolling maul, and he gave a yellow card to Callum Afoni for pulling it down and killing it, but didn't give a penalty try.
That's ridiculous.
And they eventually did score a try, but the conversion was from so wide out that he missed it. Whereas it was, you would sort of go, well, if you're going to give a yellow card 1 yard out from the line when they had a proper rumble on, give a penalty try.
There was men in the maul who were over the line. Yeah. Just the ball wasn't quite because he killed it.
Ugh.
Yeah, so it's a strange decision.
It was a strange decision.
Exeter need to really regroup for next year.
There was obviously a strange decision at the end of Leicester v Saints.
Yeah, what did you make of that, Tim?
Well, I think it was a pretty honestly made balls up by Wayne Barnes. Well, firstly, Northampton should have had a penalty.
Because
Manu Tuilagi threw the ball out.
Yeah, that's agreed.
That's by the by. If the ball went out, they probably would have just kicked it to touch for a driving maul anyway. But Wayne Barnes asked the television match official, is it time up? The television match official said yes, but I think the television match official was saying at that point, not when the ball went out. Wayne Barnes wasn't clear.
Yeah.
He should have actually said, when the ball went out, was time up.
Yeah, it was completely wrong.
Do you remember the Wales-Italy game? Oh, I remember. But we're watching this game, and what the ref, whoever it was, could have even been Wayne Barnes. The question was, after Wales kicked it into the Italian 5 metre for a driving maul, do we have time?
Yeah.
Do we have time?
Do we have time for the line out?
Yeah, but he said, do we have time? He goes, yep, that is time. So, like, he asked, do we have time, as in, is time up? And then he took it as, what a bunch of idiots. There should be some standardised questions.
But there can be a game without them.
Not yet.
Until we get RefBot 3000.
Sarri's against Wasp looked impressive again.
Yeah.
Powerful. And they've been off on another one of their jaunts that you love so much, JB.
Yeah, look good. Did you see some of the pictures from New York?
No, I didn't. They should win an award for the most creative way to get around the salary cap.
Well, we're going to get onto some of the games ahead this weekend because there's some monumental tussles in Europe. A couple of absolutely huge games. I can't wait. And welcome back to the fold, Sky Sports, in your rugby coverage for the next week. It's going to be good. But I have a bit of a treat. Something else that we got in touch on at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Now, we played this a little while ago. Every time we refer to rugby league, we play a little clip of a rugby league commentator from who represents Castlefield.
Castleford.
No, Castlefield would be a terrible rugby league team. You know this.
Castleford. Sorry. And it's this guy, one of the most one-eyed commentators ever.
Andy.
Campbell.
I can't speak. You ball this gate, Campbell.
Campbell.
I can't speak.
And this is him when they score a try.
Steve. Oh, this is it. What about him? It's a try. Shove it up yours. We all can't speak.
Every time I listen to that, I just think, who is he broadcasting to? Is it like a family of coal miners somewhere or huddled around the wireless looking forward to the Sunday game?
Well, I've got a little bit of a challenge for you. I have. We've been sent another video of this commentator.
No.
Yes. And thank you very much. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, someone's found another video of him. I have 1 minute of audio footage. I want you to guess how many times he uses the phrase, in this minute, I can't speak.
Well, I mean, it takes him, I can't speak. 3 seconds, 3 seconds, 20 times.
20? Is that a serious answer?
No, it's not. Okay. I'm going to go with six.
Six?
I think six is pretty good. I'm going to go for five.
Okay, six and five, right. This is him, again, commentating on it. It seems to be when Castleford play Wigan, he gets really, really animated. This is some more old-school footage.
Dez. Go steady, with spit his dummy out. Frank Farmer low. Wish he'd start flattening a few, Frank. Size on him. Butch. Henry Paul moving it long. Faddle. Oh, that's forward. Forward pass, Mr. Cummins, you dickhead. Black out spake. Forward a mile. Stevie Wonder is in. Narrow 5 yards. Forward. Well, I can't speak. Nah, you can't. Typical. Spit his dummy out, referee. Typical, I can't speak. You show your colours, Mr. Cummins. Typical. I can't speak. Playing with blows livelihoods, that's what they're doing. Well, I can't speak. Play on, he says it. What a Wiganer. There's flatten him. It, to McCormack. Gives it to Betts. Betts. Butch offloads to Faz. I can't speak. Tapped it to him. Well, I can't believe it. Hey, we're getting a penalty when you want one. I can't speak. Well done, Mr. Cumming.
Seven times.
Yes.
Seven.
Oh. Do you know, I think it's the thing which goes on in rugby league, you know, because a friend of ours, a good friend of ours, used to have a girlfriend that quite liked rugby league.
And oh, God.
She was about as biased as he. Oh, who was it? Ganson. Ganson hates us. Ganson hates us.
Oh, no.
Massive. In fact, everyone hated Warrington Wolves, according to her.
She genuinely believed that there was a conspiracy theory from the RFL to to take down Warrington Wolves, to prevent them from ever winning anything.
Everyone
knew it as well. In her mind, everyone knew that Warrington Wolves were picked on by the RFL and all the officials were dead against them.
Oh, I mean, it's common knowledge. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, exactly. The matter-of-fact way she used to say it.
Hidden in plain daylight. Been going on for years.
Well, there you go.
That was brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant footage.
Thank you for digging that one up. And if you find anything else that's...
We want more. We want as much as you possibly can.
As much of him or anything else is equally entertaining, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we'd love to share it with the rugby audience. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for getting involved. Right, the European... We thought we were going to have an answer on this podcast for exactly what the European competition is going to look like next season. But the Italian and French... Or is it Italian and Scottish? Italian and French teams.
I can't imagine if the Italians and Scottish made too much of a noise that anyone would care.
No. The Italian...
Oh, you don't want to play this year? Oh!
The Italian and French federations want to clarify a couple of issues, but we're apparently pretty much there. And compromise seems to be the key word, which has been quite unusual. So in terms of television coverage, BT and Sky are going to split the coverage.
Yeah, I heard that neither of the executives for BT Sport and Sky would talk to each other, so they were mediating through a third party who was someone who used to be the head guy at Channel 5.
Is that right?
That's what I read.
Do you reckon that he's mediating his own fee as well? Well,
oh, yeah.
They've said that they'd pay me X amount. Well, they've signed, so I don't know. I bet when it's all said and done, the only person with any rights to any sport will be the mediator.
Will be Channel 5.
Yeah, Channel 5.
All European rugby next season is going to be on Channel 5.
And it looks like it's going to be a competition with 20 sides, six, and in terms of, there'll be six from the Aviva Premiership, six from the top 14, and a seventh place playoff between the top 14 and England. So that'll be a total of 13 of the sides will come from England and France.
They can double dip, can't they?
And then seven from
and then seven from the Rabo Pro 12.
And also, the other sticking point, apparently, is they want to make sure somebody won't be suing someone else. I think Sky won't sue ERC. I think that's also a sticking point. So, not all sorted yet, but it looks promising.
They're close, aren't they? It will happen because there's just too much money riding on it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so much. It's so commercially appealing.
I'd like to see
to the market.
Yeah,
And hopefully this time next week we will have a definitive answer. But that's what it's looking at for the time being. Now, JB has come up with an idea for a 15 that we're going to select. Mm. Something else for you to get thinking about and help us with. So, JB, you're 15.
The job's worth 15. So not people that really like their job. I don't know, I'm trying to think of someone like Johnny Wilkinson, loves kicking. It's more people whose surnames also are occupations.
Hmm.
Okay. It would be easy just to go with like Taylor and Smith and things like that. This is Dolly Parton working 9 to 5.
Oh, right, sorry. Do you know, I'm so out of touch with anything like this.
I just haven't. I just thought a little bit of music to introduce the team. So we're going to try and think. So it'd be easy to go Taylor, for example.
Yeah.
You could have 4 or 5 Taylors.
But we want to try and be a bit more inventive with it. Smith, yeah, exactly. So a bit more inventive where possible. So get thinking. Surnames which could either directly, literally, or maybe with a little bit of lateral thinking be a job. So, should we start in the front row then? Props.
The one that I'm probably most proud of, actually, Alan Paver.
Oh, very good. Cornish Pirates.
Cornish Pirates legend. In fact, rugby legend.
Yeah.
Rugby legend in his own right.
That's a really good one.
Thank you.
Someone who was involved in the match for Newcastle against Worcester, Rob Vickers.
It'd go well with my centre partnership.
Go well with my halfback partnership.
Interesting. Maybe we should do a religious 15.
Yeah.
Then we could even get like Israel Folawin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, geography 15.
Geography 15 as well.
Geography 15. That's a good shout, Phil. I'll have to do that.
Sean Knight, Gloucester prop.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good, good.
I like that.
George Porter, Worcester Warriors.
Well, very good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Former
Paver and Porter.
Porter. Exactly.
Paver and Porter. Done. Cool.
Do you know, I really wanted to find someone called Glazer, a prop called Glazer. I searched for a prop called Glazer for ages so I could have Glazer and Tony Window, but I couldn't do it.
Hooker. So we've got our Paver and Porter.
Who's Payne. I could have gone with Payne as well. Payne, Window, and Glazer. Tim Payne. Damn it.
That'd be the most specific 15 ever. The Windows and Glass 15.
Damn it. Okay.
Hooker. I've got one hooker that I reckon someone else will have come up with a bit of lateral thinking.
I've got one as well.
We can't use the same guy again.
Someone that's featured in a couple of 15s before?
We can't do it.
The oldest profession known to man.
Yeah, should we say it on three? 1, 2, 3. Andrew Hall.
Yeah. Only made 3 dream teams now.
and the rest.
He's made quite a few. 4 or 5, I'd say.
Job's worth 15. Paver, Porter and Hall. Into the row. And I've got another religious one, Louis Deacon.
Oh, good. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Gareth Archer.
Oh, very good.
Yep, I've got Gareth Archer. I've got Gareth Archer and I married him up with Matt Lord.
Nice.
They're like my medieval second row.
It's been a bit like that. You could have a sort of Robin Hood 15 with Owen Sheriff from Saracens.
Oh, good. Yeah. Owen Sheriff.
And John Fisher, London Irish.
Oh, yeah, he could slot in the back row as well.
Yeah, lock back row. A job where people often complain they don't get paid enough.
Nurses.
But they're not
lazy nurses.
Not lazy nurses.
Lazy teachers.
Not teachers or nurses.
No. Frontline heroes.
But they are the hardest working. It's the hardest working profession.
Council workers.
Dean Mum.
Oh, yes. And it's Mother's Day as well. Come on, just gone. Dean Mum is in there. That is a tough job. Well done, Mums.
He's made about 5 different 15s as well.
Dean Mum and...
The hardest job in the world, according to Persil washing powder adverts.
Archer, Sheriff.
I like Dean, Sheriff.
Sheriff, all right. Dean Mum and Owen Sheriff. What about I've got one here. Exeter Chiefs back row. Kai Horstman. Horseman? No, it's a bit tenuous.
What kind of job's that?
Horseman.
looking after horses.
Yeah, he skips to the horseman. It sounds like an accent.
Oh, and I've just thought of another Exeter Chiefs player. Well, he's actually had to retire, hasn't he? No, he hasn't. That's Chris Whitehead. But an Exeter Chiefs player would be a job for an adult film star of a very specialist, with a very specialist skill.
Eric Fluffer.
Carl Rimmer.
Carl Rimmer.
Eric Fluffer.
Carl Rimmer.
There isn't really an Eric Fluffer, is there?
No,
but we'll stick with the back row.
Martin Fister.
Callum Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
James Forrester.
Oh, excellent.
If it is a profession.
Jake Bailiff. Scrum?
What? Jake Bailiff?
Is that really a name?
Yeah, Jake Bailiff plays flanker for... it's an under-12s team somewhere. He is on the internet. Jake Bailiff. I got my little sister on the way up here to Google all these things.
Dan Baker currently plays for Ospreys. He's got a couple of Wales caps as well.
Have you forgot maybe the best one? Mike Brewer.
Excellent. That's great.
Brewer, Baker.
He could be our director of rugby potentially as well.
Indeed.
I like a couple of like old school professions, a baker and a brewer. And
candlestick maker.
And a fisher, maybe.
Oh. Chris Butcher.
Oh, let's go baker, brewer, butcher.
Yeah. Done. Good. You could run a small village with them.
Exactly.
There's also a number 8 who is not a single profession. He's the collective noun for profession. For a profession.
A collective noun.
Pierre Spies.
Spies! Yes!
Damn it! That's so obvious.
Oh, Pierre Spies is going in.
Collective spy.
Spies with Baker and Brewer. How about that?
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Done. Right, halfbacks then.
Oh,
right.
I'm intrigued by yours, Tim.
I am as well.
Your pairing.
Well, I thought they both played together for Newcastle against Worcester Warriors.
This weekend?
Once the scrum half went off injured.
Godman.
Godman was 10 and Pilgrim at 9.
Pilgrim
nice. And Godman.
I don't think either
together.
Of those are jobs, though.
Probably not, actually, no.
I mean, the Godman. It sounds like an informal reference to the Lord Almighty. Yeah, if you ask the Godman. But I don't think...
I thought it was just a nice touch when it was Pilgrim and Godman together.
Yeah, it's nice.
Earl Rose. It's not really a job.
As in the Earl?
Earl, yeah.
I've gone for Clerk. As in Francis de Klerk, who scrum off for the Lions in South Africa.
Peter Stringer?
Yeah, freelance journalist is a stringer.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Boom.
Do you not know?
I don't know that.
No idea.
Were you thinking of someone who makes strings?
Makes strings, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
There was also an Irish scrum off from the 90s called Kieran Scally.
Oh, nice.
It's almost the opposite to a job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not really a profession. It's an occupation, I guess.
It's an occupation, yeah. You know, tucking your tracksuit bottoms into your socks so stuff doesn't fall out when you nick stuff from Poundland.
And then passing the ball to Martin Chav.
So, Stringer at 9?
Yeah, Stringer.
So, Earl Rose, Quaid Cooper, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Alex King.
Yeah. Do you know what Howard is?
No.
Howard is a sheep herder.
Is that right?
It's just like old English for sheep herder.
Ah, so very good.
Pat Howard could be there. It's a bit tenuous.
Well, he'd be at 12, but he couldn't be at 12 because my centre partnership is Abbott and Bishop.
That's brilliant.
Stuart Abbott and Justin Bishop.
That is good. You could have like Regan King in there if you don't have Alex King.
Regan King,
yes. Alex King, then. Let's have a King in then. Well, I like that. Abbott and... did you have any other centres, Phil?
Nope. No, well, other than like Duncan Taylor, but
standard ones.
Yeah,
so on to the wings then.
Someone who'll be in the Winter Olympics.
Wendell Sailor.
No.
Luge.
Luge.
Luger. Dan Luger.
Dan Luger.
Dan Luge.
Very good.
That's really good.
You've probably heard me say this one before, but Julian Surveyor.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
I love Julian Surveyor, not only because I'm a surveyor myself, but because I think it's very, very clever.
Surveyor and Luger.
There's Ian Hunter, used to play for Northampton in England.
Yep.
Brill.
Nicky Walker. Or Eli Walker.
What's a walker?
Dog walker.
Oh, someone
who walks. One of my favourites is Brian Carney.
Yep, fine.
Excellent.
Carnival folk.
I spent a lot of time with this looking at like French names, thinking surely the French names must mean something. So Skrella means kind of faith in Russian, apparently. And Michelac is like, Michelac must be something. It's Michael in French.
What?
I know.
Freddie Michael.
Yeah.
George Michael's brother.
Exactly, Freddie Michael.
And I've managed to come up with boring ones like Hunter I got as well, and for the fullback Rob Cook,
yeah.
It's like I couldn't come up with an exciting one. That's why I really like Surveyor and Luger, but fullback
Rob Cook.
Rob Cook, good.
Rob Cook. And that rounds off 15. No doubt we'll have missed some good ones. So Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Please, yeah, have a little think. And if something pops into your head, just tweet us and we can give you a shout next time as we try to do. Right, we're going to talk about the weekend's rugby that is to come. Just interestingly, just to sort of say that it seems like Phil was probably right. Hold on a minute. Which one of you was saying Sam Burgess would be in the forwards?
Phil.
Phil.
Yeah.
Phil the winger is, well, you're kind of right. He's not going to play second row, but Sam Burgess, it looks like Bath are going to put him in the back row. When he arrives, Sam.
Stop, right? Because what Phil said is he would be a second row, which is the most ludicrous suggestion ever. Now, the most obvious suggestion would be he'd be in the centres, but as a middle way, I would say maybe an eight.
No, I think... Well, what I said was his best chance, given that he only has 12 months with no pre-season, of making the World Cup squad, not even starting, is second row, because it's the least technically difficult.
Never. That's so completely wrong. That is so completely wrong.
Let's see where Bath play him.
And besides, it's not as if he lacks technical skills. It's not like we're getting, you know, Marius Polonowski or whatever his name is, some incredible specimen to learn to pass and catch. He can do all the technical stuff, but what he won't be able to do is the rucking and mauling and knowing when to enter a ruck. It takes years and years. Play him in the centres, or at worst, make him a ball carrying eight.
And I think second row is a massive area of strength for England.
Yeah,
and for Bath.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
So,
but I think Bath have got superb centres as well.
But I was there, actually in the flesh for Andy Farrell's debut for Saracens when he came on at six. Lasted half a game, half a game, and then they moved him to 12.
I don't think he's going to feature in the World Cup.
No,
I can't see it happening.
I think it's too soon as well.
I think. Mm. And how old is he?
He's 25 now, so
he's got
26.
Time.
So he could make the following World Cup.
Here's my prediction. He won't get capped for England at back row.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
I think he will do. He'll get capped for England in the forwards because they'll have autumn internationals, they'll have the summer tours
Maybe.
But the RFU haven't paid any money for him, so Stuart Lancaster's got no obligation to put him in the squad.
Yeah.
And you know what Stuart Lancaster's like? He's very kind of measured in his decisions. He's not the sort of guy that's going to lob him in just for the sake of it.
It would be interesting to see if England were paying the money for him to come over, where they would want him to play. Would they go along with Bath? If he'd gone to, I don't know, Gloucester or somewhere else.
There's a lot of let's just keep everyone happy here and say that he's going in the pack. Because they've got a very settled back line.
I think when it was first talked about the RFU paying to get him over, I think inside centre is where Stuart Lancaster or other England coaches would have been thinking.
Let's just think a bit
deeper. Because Billy Twelve Trees is great, Luther Burrell, great, but they're not top notch. They wouldn't get into Australia, they wouldn't get into South Africa, they wouldn't get into New Zealand. Sam Burgess potentially could.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that point.
I think you've been a bit harsh on the England centres there. I think, they're not going to get into New Zealand, but as a pair, they've done very well. Actually, are they not good enough for Australia? Probably not. I mean, they probably could. They probably could play for some.
Would England's inside centres get into?
Maybe not the All
Blacks. Get into France? No.
Maybe
ahead of Fofana.
Fofana and Bastereau, good partnership. Would getting ahead of Wales?
Well,
Robertson Davies?
No. They beat them, didn't they?
Would you stop?
No, I think
the centres aren't the area of weakness for Wales, are they?
No, they're not. But I was just saying, I think you might be a bit harsh on that. I think they're doing
I'm not criticising them. I'm not saying they're not good and solid. I'm just saying, actually, out of England's backline,
potentially
inside centres, the kind of...
And here's
the weaker link.
Well, here's another angle for you. There's a little bit of conjecture that Kyle Eastman wasn't particularly happy at Bath. And they've settled that down now, and you know they've kind of got him playing well, and he's playing
really well
rugby.
Yeah.
How do you think it'd affect him if they said actually Sam Burgess is going to come in your position, and we've paid X number of thousand pounds to get him? I'm not sure that's going to sit well, and they've got a push now into the playoffs, and maybe even getting to the final.
And look at their blindsides as well, young English guys: Carl Ferns, Matt Garvey.
Good
blindsides.
Good players.
All we talk over this, the more it makes sense to put him in the centre. And with the
it's the most like rugby league.
And with all the
I mean, you, I'm, yeah, I, no, I haven't played
is.
In the back. But
it is.
You played
it
in the
is,
back.
You're right.
And actually, you know, Joel Tompkins was a second row, and look, and he's in the outside centre berth for Saracens now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is a smokescreen,
just to protect Carl Eastman's delicate, fragile feelings, maybe.
Exactly.
Until the end of the season.
That's an interesting idea, JB. Interesting idea. Well, it sparked a little bit of debate anyway. More debate on this weekend's matches, because this is huge. We're at the quarterfinals of the European competitions. There's the Challenge Cup. And there's some pretty tasty games in the Challenge Cup. So should we just get those out of the way?
Yeah.
Sale Northampton on Thursday night.
Yeah, it should be a good game.
Sale won this fixture in the Premiership last weekend. But Northampton are pretty seasoned at knowing what it's like to play knockout rugby.
Yeah. Will Myler be back?
I don't know. His hamstrings are a funny one, isn't it?
How would you play this if you were Sale? Because Sale got a pretty thin squad. Do you go all out to win this match, or do you rest your players but then risk losing momentum? Or do you put a full team out and then risk losing momentum because you lose anyway?
I'd go for this. Yeah. 100%. Because potentially there's only 4 games left this season for Sale.
Yeah, 100% go for it. Like they could genuinely win the whole thing, particularly having a home quarter final.
Mm. I think it'll be a different Northampton, a very different Northampton. They were really flat in that game at Sale. I think that'll be tight. Stade Français versus Quins, as you mentioned. I can't see anything other than a home win there. Well, the Quins do turn it on in Europe occasionally. They've had some famous wins, haven't they?
Yeah, I'd go for Stade Français at home.
And there's 2 games on Sunday in the Amelin Challenge Cup quarterfinal. Bath at home to Brive.
Yeah, I think...
That strikes me that it was actually a European Cup final.
It was, yes,
at one point.
It.
Yeah, they did.
It wasn't the first ever one, was it? Or was it the first
close
one?
Close to it, yeah.
The first one, because then the next one, the French teams didn't play or the English teams didn't play. Something so I think like that was the first one. Might be a bit of a grudge match.
1998 it was.
Yeah.
And I expect to see a Bath win there.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken... Hang on, let's see if I can really show off here. It was Brive, Ulster, Northampton. Who was next then?
Ulster won one.
Ulster won the second one.
Wow.
Then Northampton won it. I'm trying to think who won it after
Leicester.
After Northampton? No, I don't think it was.
What?
Toulouse.
Is it Toulouse next?
You're in the wrong order, but you got the right teams.
Toulouse, Stade Français.
Toulouse won it first, 95-96. Oh, okay. Then Brive, then Bath, then Ulster, then Northampton, then Leicester back to back.
Oh, wow. Never mind.
Good.
Anyway.
So an old school looking fixture. It's in the Amelin Challenge Cup. Brive aren't the team they were, unfortunately, for them. And then Wasps, Gloucester, the All English quarter final.
Yeah, it should be a good game, that. Because Gloucester are looking good now. They seem to have strengthened their pack a bit. And their backs are playing well.
Yeah, what do you make of the Gloucester signings, Tim? No. Now let's exclude Afoa and Hibbard because we know that they're good.
The second row signings. Is it right? Jim Hamilton's could go. There was rumours of Jim Hamilton going back to Gloucester.
They signed Tom Palmer.
But then I saw they signed Tom Palmer. I think this might be good money after bad. Bad money after good, or bad money after bad, whatever the right phrase is. I don't think Tom Palmer's a solution for Gloucester. He's
35.
He's 35, and I've seen him a few times in the flesh this season, and he's a shadow of the player he was.
Yeah, always been quite lightweight, so that's not what they need.
What about the 10 situation? Because I have a feeling they are really struggling to find a 10, so they picked up a guy from Bedford, a guy from Scarlets, and Laidlaw, who's a 9. And also, Freddie Burns hasn't decided where he's going to go.
They've signed Mark Atkinson from Bedford.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, he's a bloody player, and he's not a 10. He's a 12.
13, but...
Well...
He's a 12. I tell you what, he is a serious player. If I had to liken him to someone, and I watched him play quite a few times in the Championship, and Bedford always had him off the bench, and I could never understand it, because when he came on, he changed the game. And I would say, if I was going to liken him to a 12, it would be another one that come out of the Championship, Tim Molinar. Eamon Sheridan, he can have that sort of impact. Like, you look at Eamon Sheridan, Tim Molinar, 2 guys that have come from the Championship inside centres. I think he'll have a big impact like they did.
Onto the Heineken.
Yeah, all right, let's get onto the big matches then. 4 huge Heineken Cup quarterfinals. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than these games. And we're in for a treat. There's 3 games on Saturday, 1 on the Sunday. We'll start with Saturday. And the first one, the lunchtime kickoff, Munster against Toulouse. Call that one.
Toulouse.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, too much firepower.
See, I'd think that, but there's something about this competition and Munster. And you look at Toulouse's. I mean, did anyone see Toulouse v Toulon, by the way?
No. This weekend got
brutal.
Who won?
Toulon.
What's the score?
They won 32-28. Yeah,
it's close. But just massive men. It was nuts.
Yeah, they've got that kind of spirit and at home as well.
I don't see it. I think it's all very well to talk about the spirit, but that Toulouse pack is monstrous. Absolutely monstrous.
Monstrous pack. And
when you watched Saracens, who are going so strongly in the Aviva, struggle with their front row options, watching Schalbritz pop up and all that pressure. No chance at all.
I would favour an away win, but Munster at home, they've got a home quarter final for a reason, because they've stood up in some big matches.
I'm going to have to go for Toulouse as well. Pick-em-alls, you'll have Nianga, who was superb in the Six Nations, and you can have Akapusi Quera as well. When you consider you've got players like Uge and Jose Gear in the back line as well.
Yes.
It's pretty terrifying.
But it's interesting that Toulouse are coming off a massive away match in the top 14 against Toulon, and Munster are coming off the back of a massive away match in the Pro 12 against Leinster. So they're pretty, very, and they both lost narrowly, so very evenly matched. So that'll be interesting. Can Leicester Tigers do enough at Claremont?
I hope they can, but I doubt it.
I don't think they can. Well, I think they can, but I don't think they will.
Where can they match up favourably? That's the question.
I think the pack can front up to them.
Claremont, I'm talking about serious options. Claremont squad.
I love their second row partnership. They've got the oldest, biggest second rows.
Nastiest.
Here when you go, when you're talking
looking Cudmore. Best with the top off, according to Phil.
That's just Jamie Cudmore.
those two. Come on, boys, let's play ball.
With Morgan Parra and Brock James as well, pulling the strings, controlling things.
Is Brock
things.
James still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Right, you've got to pick a winner now. Who's it going to be, Jay?
Claremont.
Phil.
Claremont haven't lost in 70-odd games at home.
Claremont by
it's
seven.
It's got to be Claremont.
7-odd points.
Claremont at home, I'm going
it's
for
It's going to be
well.
A brilliant game, though.
This one, this is so hard to call. In fact, all the games involving the Irish provinces, it's really hard. Ulster-Sarries.
Saracens.
Ulster, I think, at home.
I'd edge for Ulster at Ravenhill.
Yeah.
Saracens have got wave of players coming off the bench.
Yeah, you take Matt Stevens off and you've got James 21 Stone and James Johnson coming on to replace him.
I do think a little bit that Ulster flattered to deceive.
If you can keep Ruan Pienaar quiet, because he scored, I think, all 22 points against Leicester, keep him quiet and Saracens have got a good chance.
Jacques Berger. Stick his head in and around Ruan Pienaar.
Yeah, that's another thing. Leicester never had Jacques Berger.
Yeah. That's true.
Wow, what a guy.
And then the final one. What a game.
They're all incredible games.
Toulon-Leinster.
Toulon, I guess.
It was amazing watching the Toulon game, and this just says how good David Smith is on the wing, that Brian Habana didn't even get off the bench for Toulon.
My God.
Yeah, David Smith is superb.
He's a ridiculous specimen. He's got firepower.
Boring
everywhere.
Name, though.
Yeah.
It's not a great name.
That's not a great name.
It may as well be called John Smith. Who cares?
But look at the matchups. Carl Heyman against Kieran Healy straight off the bat.
Yeah.
There's matchups all over the park.
What about that? Bastro O'Driscoll again.
Wow. Again.
I'm going to Toulon win. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be quite convincing. Toulon win.
I don't think it'll be convincing, but I think the newspapers will be being flung in the air by the end of the game.
Where can you see? Which area of the pitch do you want to attack Toulon at?
Yeah, good point.
Well, I think it's one of those matchups where you go, Toulon is that incredible team of individual brilliance, and Leinster is that clever, tactically astute, cohesive like unit.
Yeah.
Toulon.
They're better than the sum of their parts of Leinster.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Tim.
Toulon, one of the reasons I really dislike Newcastle so much. Newcastle spent all that time wasting Johnny Wilkinson's career, just frittering it away. And right at the tail end of his career, he thought, oh, we'll have one or 2 years at Toulon. What were we, like, 6 years down the road now? Or something?
Yeah, 2009, I think he went there. Yeah. For 5 years.
And he's already won one Highland Cup, could end up with two. And
he was in the stand for the Toulouse game.
Is he injured?
I don't know.
He'll be rested, won't he?
I was assuming he'd be rested. Yeah,
yeah, you've got to be careful.
I think they were talking about him playing another season, but he has officially decided to call it a day now, which is such a shame. A great of our era.
I do think, though, if Leinster can hold them, and because, like you said, their cohesive unit, like their team spirit, and Toulon might not necessarily have that because they are superb individuals. So I think it'll be a cracking game, but Toulon probably just edge it.
Toulon, give me Toulon by 14 points at least.
Wow.
Well, I don't see it like that.
No.
Well, we'll see it next week. Toulon are what the Barbarians should be.
let's stick with Leinster for 1 second, because another thing we got in contact with, and just to round off the podcast today, we have a little bit of rugby okey that's coming courtesy of Jamie Heaslip, who has been, well, you know what, we got a direct compare and contrast, because rugby okey is where we celebrate the fact that rugby players have an unusually high love of getting on the microphone and performing musically, and it all started with this man.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right, I don't deny it. Test me, try it, style you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up, up, high, grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before, we represent L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this. So, so sick, attendance, you can't buy this.
Alex Corbisiero, compare that rapping to Leinster's Jamie Heaslip.
A rapper?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's stepping up, spitting some lyrics and flowing. right, so it's a battle royal. Alex Corbisiero in the red corner, in the blue corner, representing the province of Leinster, here's Jamie Heaslip.
And I would just like to kick things off with, and I was like, good gracious, ass bodacious, flirtatious, trying to show face off, looking for the right time to plant that seed in, looking for the light time to flash them keys in. I'm leaving, please believe in, oh, me and the rest of my heaving, checking out a lot in the four seasons, penthouse rooftop birds I'm feeding, no deceiving, nothing up my sleeving, no teasing, I need you to get up on the dance floor and give that man what he asking for, oh, cause I feel like busting loose and I feel like touching you, I can't nobody stop the juice, so baby, tell me what's the use. I said, good morning.
It's getting hot in here.
Here's an observation for you. If you were to listen to that voice and make a snap decision for £100, judging by the voice, could you beat up that guy? I would say yes.
In reality, is there a better number 8 in Europe at the minute?
No.
Probably.
There's some better rappers, though, more importantly.
Would you have Corbisiero in your corner?
Corbisiero would take his lunch money.
That was painful, wasn't it?
And the Irish accent doesn't do anything for hip-hop.
Which is better, the Irish accent or the West Yorkshire accent with the Burgess?
I can't speak!
Burgess Brothers rapping.
Corbisiero's got a bit of an American twang going on.
So we'll leave you with that from Jamie Heaslip, and we'll say enjoy the rugby that's coming up in the European Cup. We'll be here after it to probably say that we got all of our predictions wrong. But let us know what you reckon about anything you've heard in this podcast at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and we will catch you there between now and the next one. In a bit, JB.
Bye, Tim.
In a bit, Phil.
Bye, Tim.
Later, Oz.
We all can't speak!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.